Welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night. Good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'm very happy to welcome you today to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. I'm so used to say the very first and only, but we're not the only. We have a second bilingual show, Spanish and Portuguese, Paganos del Mundo. Anyway, as you who can see, but you who are just listening are here for a surprise. I am very happy tonight to welcome Christopher Hughes. Christopher Hughes is chief of the Anglesey Druid Order, a Mount Hamus scholar, and a member of the Order of Bards, Obeids, and Druids. He is a teacher, writer, workshop leader, and guest speaker at pagan conferences, camps, and festivals throughout the United Kingdom, Europe, and North America. Christopher has also contributed to Welsh and English television and radio. He is the author of 6 books and the creator of the Celtic Tarot. For more information on Christopher, please visit www.angleseydruidorder.co.uk. He is a wonderful writer, a great, fantastic person, really a great human. And I'm very honored to say that he's also my friend. Oh my God. I am so happy that we met and that we have cultivated this friendship. And I am delighted to have you on the show tonight. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Bodadap nawn dan nor star, as we would say over here in Wales. To cover all the bases. And you are so right. You know, when I first met you, it was at Pagan Spirit Gathering.
Yes.
And I still have to pinch myself that this world that I live in and all of the beautiful connections and relationships that I've made with people just like you have all happened because there was a day where I sat down and wrote a book, you know, and writing a book, it's a peculiar process because it is incredibly solitary and sometimes quite lonely because I'm just here in my lovely office, but I'm by myself. And you never think that those books are going to have real life consequences and real life connections, but they happen. And I'm so grateful and I praise the gods every single day that I've had these amazing opportunities. So thank you not only for your gorgeous friendship, but also for inviting me onto your lovely show.
Of course, it is always my pleasure to have you, and I'm very delighted that you accepted to come once again to talk about the new book, New Tarot Adventures, and life in general, and how much you inspired all of us with the work that you do through the Druid Order and your personal work and books and all of that. I have to say, on a personal note, very inspired by you. Don't tell anybody. This is just between you and I.
Okay.
English is my second language, as well as English is your second language. And I saw you at PSG at the opening ritual, and you spoke on your language. And none of us understood any of what you said. But the feeling, the sentiment, the energy was such that we did not need to understand. And then you, of course, translated and you let us into what you had said in your language. That changed my life because I decided, I know I speak Spanish. A lot of people know I speak Spanish. I rather that when they're English native speakers, they speak English to me. But in ritual, it never occurred to me to say the sacred words on the language that were originally spoken. And you have changed my life by that act. And you need to know, because these are the little things that we do because we are who we are. And we don't ever stop to say, what would I do today to change somebody's life? You know, you just do. And you are indeed an inspiration of mine. So I'm very delighted to be your friend and to have the inspiration. Has been a challenging year. It's been all this isolation, as you mentioned earlier. We met on PSG 2019. And then soon after that, the whole world got on pause. And we all know the grim numbers and all of that. But I want to ask, we've been seeing you online with group meditations, with celebrations. The Yule celebration that your group did was just fantastic. What else have you been doing? Of course, online. What have you been doing all this year? How you been doing?
It's been quite peculiar, and it has been very challenging. So for people who might not know what I do for a living, I actually work for Her Majesty's Coroner Service. So I work at a very large morgue, and it's an autopsy facility and a bereavement facility. So as you can imagine, when lockdown started, I had all sorts of plans that, because I also work in Welsh television. So I had some television work lined up, and I had a lot of druidry related stuff to do and things to be engaged in. And of course, all of that came to a crashing stop. And I went back to working within the National Health Service, which provides mortuary, bereavement and autopsy services. So I've been back there for the main part of 2020. And it's only in 2021 that I've started to take a back seat. And now I've gone part time. So now I work 2 weeks on and I work 2 weeks off so I can focus on my writing and focus on my druidry as well. But I'm starting to feel it now, because we decided in 2019, so the year that I met you, it was practically impossible for me to go anywhere beyond the summer solstice, because the summer solstice here is such a big deal. We have a monument on the island which is perfectly aligned to the solstice sunrise. We have about 350 people that attend our dawn ceremony, and we have all sorts of activities that happen within the Druid Order for the public and for our members. So in 2019, because I'd been invited to PSG, I decided to take a little bit of a year out so I could travel and I could meet people. So we decided to not run the Anglesey Druid Order's residential year. A residential course that particular year. Well, none of us foresaw that we also wouldn't be running it in 2020 either. So now I'm really missing it. And what I miss most is that it's the connections, is that while this medium, I was very skeptical, Laura, to be honest. I was really skeptical thinking, how is it going to work? Virtual rituals and virtual stuff. But surprisingly, it does work. But I miss the hugs. I miss the connections. I miss being able to touch people and feel their energy, you know, coming at you. I miss all of that. And I'm hopeful that things might, but I don't know. I think even this summer, we might not be able to run our residential course again. Who knows? It's possibly too soon to call it. But I'm hoping that we can get back to those real life connections. And yesterday I went down to the lake at Bala, which is the legendary home of Ceridwen and her family. And it was so quiet. It was so quiet. There was nobody there. And that is so unusual. And there was an element of that which was lovely, because I could do all my devotions. I mean, I do my devotions regardless of who's watching. But and I think in Bala, people are kind of used to it. They just go, oh, that be a druid. So they just kind of go, all in a day. But it would be so nice to see more people there. And hopefully we have an annual pilgrimage to Bala, where about 70 of us, which is as much as we can accommodate on the campsite there, will go for a 3-day devotional pilgrimage to Ceridwen. And I'm hoping that by September, the government will allow us to do that.
It is indeed unique and challenging, you know, what has happened to humanity, to the whole planet. And let's hope that, you know, things, I don't want them to go back to normal. I want them to go back to to go to better, you know, to do better things,
Yes.
to be better to the earth, to be better to our fellow brothers and sisters and animal kingdom and the earth. And I mean, I think we have demonstrated that we can function somehow without everybody having to travel 10, 15 miles to work every day, getting on the cars and doing all that. My hope is that companies realize, you know, that things can be done online. And I couldn't help but smile when you were saying that you were skeptical about the online connection. Let me let you in a little secret. The Latin American, Spanish-speaking, international pagan community, that was all we had for the better part of the last 15 years. It was
right.
Online services. And that's how I started doing podcasts, you know, because the community needed that service. And we are culturally less open to ritual or open space to accommodate pagans. We're heavily Catholic, you know, which is kind of like being a pagan, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
I love, for people who might not have figured out yet, yes, we are pre-recording a couple of days before the show air. You are seeing this on April 12th, and today is April 10th because of the time change and all of that. And that trip, of course, was today, 3 days ago, but it was yesterday. And I was delighted. I am very happy to see you so active on Insta and on TikTok and doing stuff on Facebook Live. And I love that you always include the two languages. Again, that is inspiring. We were just commenting that this is, for both of us, this is our second language, right? And how unique it is.
It is really unique. And but at the same time, the factory settings of my spirituality and the expression of my spirituality is naturally through the Welsh language. It is my mother tongue. So although I understand on some level that my gods and my ancestors and the spirits of this land, that they understand any language that you speak to them, they are first and foremost in my mind, they're Welsh, because I'm Welsh, you know. So that's the flavor of those particular deities, because I was grown up with their words and their stories in my mouth in the Welsh language. So my factory settings are to speak to them and converse with them in Welsh. So it feels natural that when, and it is peculiar, because when we do our rituals, whether they're in person or virtual, we do all of our rituals bilingually. And it's quite peculiar. And some people have pulled us up on it and said, oh, why do you need to do it bilingually? Because all the Welsh people understand English, but not all the English people understand Welsh. But it lies in the fact that our language has magical origins, and the Welsh language, the history of the Welsh language, is incredibly magical when you look at where it came from and how it came to be and the mechanisms behind its survival, which of course is what I've explored quite a lot in my new book about Ceridwen. And look.
Twinsies.
So I've explored a lot of the origins of the Welsh language in this book, and I can probably skip to it quite quickly now, can I? Yeah. So it's under this particular heading, you know, the Welsh Bardic tradition, and the origins of Welsh, of the language itself, was in the making of kings and the immortalizing of the heroes of culture and the heroes of tribe and of land. And they did it with internal rhyming and alliteration, and it's a process called Cynghanedd, which is essentially a spell. So there's so much magic and song spells and spell casting, and we have a particular Welsh word for that mechanism. We call it swyn, or swynion in the plural, which is a form of magical incantation. So when we do use Welsh in our rituals, it's very important that it's there, because the vibrational quality of the language has always held this magical quality to it that has transcended the mundane and gone into the extraordinary, I guess. So, and to me, it feels more natural. And because when I do engage in ritual in English, a part of me feels a little bit like an imposter. I always think that someone's going to find me out. Go, you're not English. I go, oh no, I'm not. I'm Welsh. You know, I keep thinking I'm going to be found out. Found out. It's a really peculiar situation, but I think it's because I struggled with English. I struggled with English for so long, for so many years. And now I write books in English, which, believe me, is the most terrifying process because I feel as if I'm an imposter.
Wow. You know? Hearing that from you, for all of us who at one point in our life feel that dreaded imposter syndrome, it's such a healing, you know, because when we share, we validate each other and we heal. Exactly. And how would you be an imposter with 6 books under your belt, you know?
I know.
There is no way. And I don't want to give out too much of the book. So you'll tell me when to stop. But the very beginning of the book talks about a vision. Did that vision happen on one of those pilgrimages that you were talking about earlier? Is that the place where you were?
So it wasn't during one of the pilgrimages, because I go to Bala a lot. Like, I was there, you know, yesterday. So I'm constantly going to Bala to seek inspiration. And the peculiar thing about having a location that is directly associated with myth so nearby, the peculiar thing about that is there's a compulsion. I'm constantly compelled to go there. And whilst I've got an altar to Ceridwen just over here, and she is wherever I am, there's something about being there that I genuinely can't articulate. It moves me to, and it just doesn't just move me, my friends who go there, the people who come with us during our pilgrimages, everybody is profoundly moved by this sacred landscape, which gave birth to this particular cycle of mythology. And it's become associated as Ceridwen's home, I suppose. So we feed that, and the bards of the past fed that, the storytellers fed and nourished that concept. So to walk into her waters, and the beautiful thing about that lake is it's glacial. So the way that the rock face has been affected by the ice has caused it to fracture in a particular pattern. And some of them are, or quite hundreds of thousands of the stones are long, and they look like very long fingers. And they're called Bysedd Ceridwen, or Ceridwen's fingers. And that's what they're called colloquially. That's what people just refer to them as, Ceridwen's fingers. So all around the lake, you'll find that people will turn them, you know, into this pattern, you know, into the pattern of the three rays of Awen, of inspiration. They form them out of these Ceridwen's fingers. So you see them all over the lakeshore. And whilst I was there yesterday with my mother, there were lots of these little Awens that had been left there as an honouring to Ceridwen. You don't need to take any flowers. You don't need to take anything other than your voice, and maybe take some of the stones that are just there on the ground and form them into a little Awen, and they're little offerings to her. So that particular vision, I reinforce that vision every single time I go to Bala. That's my connection to Bala, I guess. And it's been very difficult writing a book around a practice that is so ingrained and integrated into my life as just normal. It's just normal practice for me. And then to elaborate on that and find all the scholarly information, you know, and the literary and the oral traditional stuff that I needed to explore. In a way, it felt somewhat jarring because my connection to Ceridwen is so simple. So simple. And then, you know, you look at a book, you know, of that length and you think, oh my gosh, there's so much complexity. But actually, the beauty of my relationship with Ceridwen is its sheer simplicity. So I had to take the book down yesterday to show Ceridwen, you know, because we were allowed to travel. We've not been allowed to travel. So I just wanted to take the book down there and say, Ceridwen, look, I wrote a book. And she's pleased, apparently.
That is such a beautiful story. And I also love how there are so many things. And again, I don't want to like go back to beating the dead horse, but about the language, you know, because it's so important that the language it's preserved and conserved, and that it continues to be used to praise her beauty and her favor and all of that. And then you have gone above and beyond with this production. I love it because you have made a number of videos, but some of them are on YouTube.
Yes.
And those are the ones that I want to encourage people to go before you even begin reading the book. Go watch those videos, because Chris went above and beyond and did these videos with the glossary, every word, and the pronunciation. And what took me to the video was that I started reading and I'm like, you know, my American English, is it Celtic or is it Celtic? I am not going to read a book where I can because I know your voice, every word on this book comes with your voice in my head. You're narrating to us.
Yes, yes.
And then I'm like, but is it Celtic or Celtic? And I'm like, I have to find out. And then I went to listen to when you pronounce the alphabet, and that's the answer. And then that led me to the other video where you pronounce every single one of the words and how important it is. So my question is, or I guess my questions are, it is important that we pronounce these words, but that we learn the pronunciation. Is it respectful that if we see you on a video, that if we are learning, we are understanding, is it respectful that we try to pronounce alongside, or should we better wait to when you do it in English?
I think having a go is important, and trying your best to be able to pronounce the words, because the words do have a particular power to them. And because the majority of words that are incorporated into my book, they do come from the Bardic tradition. It has always been believed that the words themselves have an animistic principle to them. So that when you utter the word Ceridwen, for instance, you're not just saying a personal noun, you're uttering something that bards have praised and sang songs to for millennia and given so much of themselves to that concept. And there is this belief within the Welsh language that words have an animistic quality. So it is important to at least try and get the pronunciation correct, which is why I wanted to do that video, because you wouldn't believe how many messages I get on Facebook every day, people saying, how do I pronounce this? Am I saying this right? And it's so difficult to try and write something phonetically in English so that they can try and understand what it sounds like. So I thought, I'll just make a video, you know, so that it's, and even things are simple, like you said, the difference between Celtic and Celtic, you know, one is that the Celtic cultural continuum the word has always been pronounced with a hard cut sound, but the football team from Scotland is Celtic, and I don't know why. But that's the football team.
Yeah, no, when we're talking about this culture, it's Celtic.
It's Celtic.
And it's Ceridwen.
Yes.
Not Ceridwen.
Yes, so Ceridwen. It's Ceridwen. So that, you can probably hear, you know, if I come closer to the microphone, you can probably hear the trilling R sound, which is Ceridwen. There's a trill, which is why her name is always consistently spelt with two R's.
Mm-hmm.
So in English language translations and English language books who have relied on other non-native speakers for their material, it's very often found with only one R. And that's only because people are taking something as gospel from another individual who's received it from another non-native source, probably. But the two R's indicate that the R sound is a trill.
Yeah.
Trilling R. Ceridwen.
Ceridwen.
Caridwen.
We the Latin language speakers, we the Spanish speakers, I think that R comes natural, you know.
So yes.
Caridwen.
Yeah.
I hope I'm doing it right. So the book, oh my God, it's a beautiful thing. It's a labor of love.
Yeah, it has been.
It will be silly to ask how you were inspired, because obviously it's part of your life. Thank you for letting us into that magical part of your life. You even talk about the art and how it was created, and it's just beautiful, the art for the cover. Did you write this in English first and then in Welsh, or do you write in Welsh and then in English? How does that go?
So no, I do actually write it all from scratch in English. So my journals and my notes, they tend to be bilingual. If I'm writing something for, say, my television work, then all of my notations are in Welsh. But because I write my books in the English language, my notations are bilingual. So if I'm researching at the library, my notations are all in Welsh because I'm reading from the source material, which will be in Welsh or Middle Welsh or Old Welsh. So my notes are a little bit peculiar. They're all dependent on what I'm doing and what I'm working on. But I wrote the book in English, but the research was quite intensive. And the reason that I wanted to expand, because I wrote a little bit about Caridwen in From the Cauldron Born, but it was only a chapter, and it was a relatively small chapter, maybe 6 or 7 pages. And I wanted to expand on that because for the majority of pagan practitioners, druids and witches out there who know Caridwen, they really only know her from one particular body of mythology, which is the tale of Caridwen and her cauldron and brewing a potion of Awen. But that is relatively new. That's only around 600 years old, which in Wales is fairly modern, you know? So I wanted to expand on the fact that Caridwen has been known and sung about and given praises to for significantly longer than that particular tale. And that had never been written about. Nobody had ever gone there, because the majority of that source material has never been translated into English from Middle Welsh. So it's not even modern Welsh, it's Middle and Old Welsh. And my language is quite different from that. So I had to learn how to read Middle Welsh to be able to translate some of the bits of bardic material that caused me to deepen my understanding of Caridwen. So my relationship with her has changed because of this book, because I understand so much more about her now. She is a remarkable being that has survived such a vast, vast space of time. And the fact that she's been continuously sung to and given praises and devotion is testament to the fact that she was very important to my ancestors. And that she didn't, you know, the Welsh language, as we understand it, didn't just emerge in the 7th century. It developed and evolved into a language that was more or less rounded up by the 7th century. And Caridwen was there from the offset. She was there as soon as Old Welsh was being written and Middle Welsh. So it implies that she also existed in the ancestor of the Welsh language, which is Brythonic, and the language of the ancient Druids, you know. So the chances are she existed then as well as this muse, as the mother of inspiration. So I just wanted to bring that forward so that people could hopefully deepen their relationship with her in the same manner that I have now deepened my relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing.
She is amazing. And the way you speak about her, of course, is a love relationship. You know, it's identify so much, because the way you speak about her is the way I speak about Mictacasigua, you know, being on your life or your life. And you know her, and you know she's been there before and before the before and all of that. And in this world of people just grabbing things they like, without learning, without going deep into the research, we've seen a lot of people selling and buying and sharing the symbol, the Awen. Of course, I have a theory, Christopher, that the difference between appropriation and appreciation is education. And now that you have written this jewel of education for us to understand the Awen, can you foresee how more people will be wearing the Awen now and taking Caridwen with them on their necks or their fingers, their rings, and everywhere?
I think so, and I'm certainly seeing significantly more of the symbol for the Awen coming, you know, up on eBay and Etsy, and I see more and more people wearing the Awen as well. But even that in itself was something that I wanted to expand upon, because, you know, I'm wearing one around my neck. But of course, that isn't the Awen. This has a secret name. And the secret name, which is not so much of a secret anymore, is a Nord Covering. So the name, this has an actual name, which is a Nord Covering, which means the mystic mark. So the three rays aren't the Awen per se. They're representative of the power and function of Awen. But the symbol itself is called a Nord Covering, the mystic mark, which I love because it implies that there's a deeper mystery and a depth of profundity held within this very simple symbol of just three straight, you know, three lines on an angle. And I love that more and more people are finding themselves attracted to what is essentially inspiration. And we need that now more than we've ever needed it. Because you see such negativity in the world, and it seems as if, especially on social media, that sometimes people's factory settings are to be negative or to throw shade or to be mean to people. Whereas the fundamental message of Awen is that we are all singing in praise of the universe. So if you're going to sing in praise of the universe, make it a bloody good song. Make it something that is wondrous. Make it something that makes people feel that they too are a part of this universe, completely inseparable, and that there's a profound magic within them. And that's what the Awen does. And the parent of that knowledge is Ceridwen. She's the mother of that. She's the parent that we go to when we really don't feel inspired. You know, when the world is really mean to us, we can make a difference by being inspirational, by injecting the world with the power of inspiration. And that doesn't cost anything.
No, no, it's for free. And as I was saying, as I was singing your praises when we started this recording, it is the little things that one do without thinking, oh, today I'm going to put on my pants, brush my teeth, and go inspire people. We don't do that.
No.
Well, we just wake up and be who we are, try to be positive, try to bring an awareness of connection. If we have learned anything in the past 16 months, is we are connected. We are more connected than we think. And I, of course, I'm going to get on my soapbox of arts and artistic creation, because I see the creatrix energy, the goddess energy, as creation. So every time I see an artist, a writer, a person that sings those songs, in whichever way they sing the song, whether it's writing a book or acting or playing or dancing or painting or drawing or whatever, any art expression, a three-line haiku, every art expression is the goddess embodied there.
Yes.
And what has helped us survive this 12 months, 16 months is art.
Hmm.
It's art. It's, we all, every single human turn to art.
Yeah.
And that's Ceridwen. That's the inspiration.
It is, yes. That's pure creativity, you know, and that the way that we express the connection that we have, whether it's to the natural world or whether it's to the gods and the goddesses that we work with, is through our creativity. And in fact, that's even what immortalizes us as personalities in this world. We can be immortalized by the very power of our creativity. Our words, our brush strokes, our songs can last more than one lifetime. And inspired, you know, I'm certainly inspired by people who are long, long since dead. You know, some of them, I'm currently studying the works of this woman called Gwerfyl Merchain. Now, she was a female bard. Now, they were rare. They were extremely rare because from the Middle Ages, we were a very patrilinear, you know, a very, you know, all of the baggage that kind of comes with that. So we didn't really have a lot of inspirational voices that came from women in middle-aged Britain. And that's a dreadful shame until you start scratching at the surface and you find these voices. The voices were there all along. They were just bloody suppressed. You know how it goes and how things have been over the last few hundred years. So I've been studying the works of Gwerfyl Merchain. Oh, my word. And she is speaking to me from 550 years ago. And there's so many pearls of inspiration, wisdom, and hilarity. This woman was so funny, so incredibly funny, and yet had the ability to profoundly punch you with her wisdom. You know, and we suppressed those voices. What do you think? What is wrong with us? Why did we do that? So that inspiration isn't something that is simply a product of the now. It can be a product that transcends time. And yes, we can find pearls of inspiration from the deep past as well as from right this very second. And I love that at the foundational level of my spiritual practice as a Welsh Druid is the power and function of inspiration, you know, and that. But of course, you first have to be able to inspire yourself. And, you know, and I tend to always finish my in-person workshops and presentations, sometimes rather flippantly with, if you can't inspire yourself, how the hell are you going to inspire anybody else? You know, and that's important that we find the things that inspire us. And for me, it is this landscape that I live in. And I've just glanced out the window now and seen, you know, the mountains have turned rose pink, you know, in the sunset. And it is hearing the voices like this fantastic woman I've discovered, Gwerfyl Merchain, and my cat. Simple things. So such simple things can cause such glee and inspiration. And we can never cure this world of sorrow. We can't. We can't do it. It's too much. But we can choose to live joyfully and to spread that joy. And I call that a DTI or a Druid transmitted infection. And that infection is Awen. And there is no ointment, girl. No cream. There isn't even an unguent. If you catch the Awen, you're going to be inspired.
Now I'm going to, of course, go and buy me one because the Druid said it was okay. So I'm going to put one around my neck. Yes.
I shall send you one. I shall send you an Awen.
I have one here
with your name on it.
All right. Well, I will be delighted and thankful to take one. And you will have the very Mexican Chicano immigrant witch with the Aztecs on her arms and the Awen around her neck. And that those are the connections that this gods and goddesses have for us. So many similarities. I'm not going to bore you with details, but for people who study the Mexica people, the so-called Aztecs, it's also all about the breath, and it's about the inspiration. And it's said that it's one breath.
Yes.
One breath. You inhale when you're born and you exhale when you go through the threshold into the other world. And you and I have talked about this before. There is a wonderful audio where we talk about all things death and dying, and of course That's where we connect.
Yes,
But
exactly. You know, and even the word awen, awen itself means blessed, holy breath. You know, it blows through. And like you said, there is only one of them. It's just the one breath. And we're all in its flow. You
yes,
know?
yes,
And
it's wonderful.
I love
The
that.
other place where you and I connect so beautifully, it's like we were made for each other, honey, is tarot. Before I go into tarot, Kerywin, the Celtic goddess of inspiration by Christopher Hughes. It's been out in the United States for a couple of weeks now, and it's soon going to be translated to other languages, yes.
Yes, I heard. Yes, and also I heard that it's been bought by Audible.
Here. Oh my God, are you
Yeah.
going to be the one reading it?
I'm not, unfortunately, but the person who is going to do it can speak Welsh.
Oh my God, I cannot wait. That is awesome.
And that's come out this summer, I think.
So you can find Celtic Goddess of Inspiration, Ceridwen, wherever books are sold. Please try to do local pagan shops first, but if you can't, or if you must, go to you know who, the one that sells everything.
Yeah, or
And
Llewellyn. You can go to Llewellyn direct as well, Llewellyn.com, and I think they're pretty quick at shipping out as well, I think. But what I'm also going to do, I think I have it. I've not set an accurate date yet because I'm waiting for the distribution center in the United Kingdom to have my book in stock because they're always about a month behind the United States. So I'm going to do a live Zoom book launch as well, so people can. I think it'll only be $2, which will pay for the postage. And I have big stickers that can be stuck inside the book, so that I can sign the book and send those to wherever people are all over the world. And I think it has something like a $2 cover charge. You know, otherwise you can imagine it could be sort of hundreds of dollars
well,
in postage.
to go see you live at a sign-in, it will cost me a whole lot more than $2 right now.
Yes,
So
exactly. Yeah. So I plan to do that because I'm somewhat getting accustomed to using this virtual platform. So I thought I may as well just spend an hour with people and talk to them about how the book came into being and its creation and, you know, all the things that we've been talking about as well. And then at the end of it, you know, I can send them a little sticker in the post and they can pop it into their book. So.
for those who cannot see it, I am calling Christopher to come into the cyber world. I've been living here for about 15 years, my love. It's lovely.
It is lovely. It is lovely. And when I do that, the link for that will be up on the AngleseyDruidOrder.co.uk website, so people will be able to book a place, you know, on
Please
there.
let me know. Please remind me so I can also share with our audience, and then we can
I
make those
shall.
lovely connections. And I was speaking of connections, and I was talking about our second love connection, that is tarot or tarot or taro. And you've been doing so wonderful. So first of all, you have this beautiful tarot that I have it somewhere in here. That you came out with a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years
Yeah,
ago.
three years ago now. Yeah, the Celtic tarot.
And you are working on something new.
I'm working on two new tarot decks,
Oh my God, of
not
course.
just one. Well, so my partner and I have always kept bees, and bees have this insane magical quality about them. And not only do they have a magical quality that is very present and connects you so much to your own square mile and the plants that grow there, they come with a vast body of mythology. You know, every single culture on the planet have had some connection with bees, you know? And I really wanted to explore that as an added layer onto the Rider-Waite-Smith system. So Llewellyn really like that idea. So they were like, yes, we really want to be tarot. So I've got a beautiful artist called Nadia. She lives in the mountains above Melbourne in South Australia. So she's the artist for it. And there's some beautiful imagery. And then the second one, I'd bought the Christmas tarot. And I was so very disappointed because when I opened the box, there was only the Major Arcana. And they were very, they didn't speak to me at all. And I was slightly disappointed with them. So I was bemoaning that fact to my editor at Llewellyn. And she said, well, if you think you can do any better, oh, famous last words. So I thought, oh, God's alive. So so I got suckered in to creating the Yule Tarot, which of course is full of mythology and, oh, you know, that covers such a vast span of human civilization. And that is, and I'm so pleased with it because it's incredibly whimsical. It's so whimsical. It's almost like a children's illustration book. And that is exactly how I wanted it. I wanted it to feel so innocent and so childlike. And Erin Brown is the name of the artist. She lives in upstate New York, and she's the illustrator for it. And so it tells the story of Yule and Sinterklaas and Christmas as well, you know, and the winter solstice. It tells all of that story through the Major Arcana archetypes. And then the Minor Arcana is looking at how our relationship with the Yuletide season is a little fickle. It's commercial, it's materialistic, it's inspirational, it's profoundly whimsical and innocent all at the same time. And bizarrely, I've got them to fit into the Minor Arcana, and I'm really pleased with it.
Oh my God, those are two wonderful pieces of work that I cannot wait to have on my hands. This is the Celtic Tarot by Christopher Hughes, illustrations by Chris Down. And this is the one that I got, that infamous video that we did, where I said, I do not need another tarot deck, but I have it. Oh. Well, I do need the B tarot. Yeah. Because, of course, I am incredibly phobic of insects, but I love bees, and I love bumblebees, for I am one. I've been a bumblebee for Halloween a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
And I cannot wait to see the V tarot, but I also cannot wait to see the Christmas tarot. I would never have thought of Christmas as a jewel. I'm sorry. I would never have thought of Yule for a whole aesthetics of a tarot deck. That is fascinating. No.
And it's because I had so much fun in creating it as well, because so many images that are captured within all of the midwinter stories that we have on our planet, they do fit the archetypes within the Major Arcana. And the magician in particular, I have a druid who is a magician, and he's cutting the mistletoe with a golden sickle. So he's still got his arms in the same pose as the usual magician. And, you know, there's so, and Freya, you know, Freya is the chariot, and her chariot is being drawn by cats as she pulls the sun across the northern hemisphere and back into existence again. And the Hanged Man is Odin with his one eye hanging on the Yggdrasil. You know, there's all these powerful images that are associated with winter that they just fit in so beautifully. And I think Judgment is coal. You know, if you've been naughty, you're going to get coal.
Can I ask a question?
Mm.
Does my main man Krampus weave its way into the...
Yes.
Don't tell me what he is.
Yes.
Because I can assume right away which, but I want to be surprised.
Yeah,
but Krampus, he is going to be there.
Yes.
Oh!
Krampus is in there. The Marie Louis is in there as well.
Yeah!
So, because, you know, she's our winter girl. here for the midwinter period. So, and it fit, and instead of, so I have the suit of candles, the suit of good cheer, the suit of gifts, and the suit of canes, candy canes, for the minor arcana. So it is whimsical, and some of it is, you know, just a little bit silly, but there's also this beautiful innocence and, oh, nostalgia. I wanted it to be somewhat nostalgic, almost like a Victorian Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm pleased. It's beautiful. She's doing a really lovely job.
I cannot wait. And I know this is still in the process, right? So
yes.
When do you think we might be able to start getting our antennas ready for those two decks?
So they're scheduled for release in 2023. So, yes. You know, so it'll be the spring of 2023, I think. So they'll work up to that. But from this coming week, we're allowed to start publicizing the deck. So I'll be releasing some early images onto social media. And, you know, I'm still getting my head. I know you said earlier on that I'm doing all sorts of stuff on social media, but I wish I was a little bit more social media savvy. I do feel that I'm that generation that isn't quite as savvy as I could be on social media, but I do try.
You know, I know somebody that could probably help you.
Oh, right.
You just have to call her and she might be able to do something. So are you telling me we kind of sort of have the exclusive into the tarot decks?
Yes. Yeah, very soon. Probably this coming week. Yeah, so there'll be just the, because we can release the odd picture, you know, and drip feed some of the images so that people can at least start to get excited about it. So, and I'm really looking forward to it. And you know what I'm like with the tarot? I love the tarot. And at the moment, I'm teaching an online tarot course. It's only on the second week, which is tomorrow, Sunday. And so I didn't even foresee the opportunity of teaching tarot online, because I love to teach tarot in person, because you can interact with people and see them really getting it. But actually, I'm really enjoying doing it online. It's still fun.
It is indeed. Yeah. And can people still jump into this course, or is it closed now?
So that one's fully subscribed, but I will be running it again. It's a 7-week course, so it's quite intensive. And each class is between 2 hours and 3 hours long. So, and I'll be running it again in late summer.
Yes. I have tried to connect with you on social media to promote this very show and to help cross-pollinate all of the work that you're doing. So I am really opening the door and asking you to please, please, please remind us when the presentation for Caradwen for the UK happens, so we can tell our audience and remind them, to also remind them when the new images for the new tarot decks come up. So please remind us, tag us.
I will, because that would be so lovely, especially to have a lot of people come to the book launch, you know, bring a glass of wine or a nice sparkling juice, you know, and have a sit down, and we can be in each other's company for an hour, which is lovely. I love that. I love the fact that we can be in each other's companies.
Yes. I said to you at the beginning of the show that I was going to try to make you smile a lot, because I do love your smile. You do have a captivating smile. Oh, and I don't know if I've done a good job or not, but for those who can actually see this video, look at that beautiful smile. Oh my God, it's like $1 million smile.
I am a smiler, though. I do smile a lot.
You do, and it's beautiful to see you smile. For those who are interested and have not been aware of this work out there, the Celtic Tarot is also available by Christopher Hughes. It is wonderful. It's beautiful. The imagery is done so beautifully. I love that in the new tarot, the hangman is going to be Odin, because when I teach tarot, I always talk about Odin with the hangman. In this case, of course, the Celtic tarot is different. And I'm showing some of the images for the people who can watch the video. And if you're just listening, well, now you're going to have to go to YouTube and find the video because the imagery is so beautiful. I love how you integrate so many artists also to work with you. That is beautiful. There's
Yes,
Yahweh.
it's important to have the different voices. I mean, I think I have, like all people, we like a particular style of artwork. You know, we are comfortable with certain styles, but I wanted the other tarot projects to not necessarily be reflective of what I like, but also to incorporate the skills and creativity of people who I might not be instantly attracted to their artwork. And it's been a really incredible journey to explore the creative abilities of other people, you know, and what their story is, how they came to be the artists that they are, and how they're bringing my visions to life using their style. And it's joyous. It is such a beautiful roller coaster of an experience. I absolutely love creating tarot decks.
It is wonderful. I cannot wait. 2023 cannot come sooner because I'll be all over the V tarot and also over the Yule one. And those will have to wait, but you heard it first here on Lunatic Mondays. They're coming. And you heard it from the author's voice. And now, but right now, please open your wallet. And go to your next bookstore, buy directly from Llewellyn or wherever you buy your books. Caraghwen, The Celtic Goddess of Inspiration by Christopher Hughes is a wonderful book.
Oh,
Please go get it.
thank you.
Christopher, can you send us off with in your native language?
I can.
A little Caraghwen call song blessing. Before you do that, say good night to your audience, please. I'll leave you the microphones to say good night and goodbye. I will say goodbye, and then you sign us off with a blessing or a prayer, if
Yeah,
you will.
lovely. Lovely. Yes, thank you all for listening and for watching as well. And I hope you enjoy my book as much as I enjoyed writing it. And it's all in service to Ceridwen. So thank you, Ag Nostar.
Thank you so much, Christopher Hughes, for being on the show tonight. Thank you to everyone who will listen live or later. Thank you to everyone who is watching. And I'll see you again on Lunatic Mondays, of course, and CSMP. Never forget that you are loved.
O anadl y dyfroedd a tyfnder y dŵr, o galon y llais mam yr awen, dymunai ysbrydoliaeth yr awen i chwi ac eich teulu. Dymuniadau y ddiwies, dymuniadau eich chyfrinachau arnach chi, byddwch awen, byddwch llawn hudoliaeth a llawn awen. Bendithion cynnes i chi gyd.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.